Kulturi, an encounter with people of different cultures. This is Fall Johannes, welcoming you once again from the program Kulturi. And today we are going to an African country, one of the biggest countries in Africa, that is Nigeria. Perhaps few of us know about Nigeria. It comprises a federal territory of 36 states, and it is located in West Africa. It has long shores facing the Atlantic. It has three influential ethnic groups, the Hausa, the Igbo, and the Yoruba. So, again, in religion, it is basically divided in half between Christians and Muslims, and a very small minority which practice the traditional religions. And to discuss the culture of this very big country, and as I've said about other big countries, you cannot really speak of one culture in Nigeria. We are not speaking about a country which is 90 miles by 7 like Molten Gozo, but a country of thousands of miles. But to speak about the general culture of Nigeria, we've got Mr. Donatus Okereke. Good morning, Mr. Donatus.
Good morning.
And it's good to know that Nigeria is a country with very ancient human history, because human habitation dates back to 9,000 years before Christ, which was quite an old history. And there were migrants from Bantu tribes and so on, and waves of other migrants even in the first and second millennium before Christ. So you can imagine the amount of richness of culture, and again the melting pot of this culture in this one nation. And the first question which I normally put to my guests is, what are the main values of a nation, of a culture? What would you describe as things which Nigerians would desire most as a people? I mean, as common people. I'm not saying what the constitution says, but the people on the ground, what are their highest values? What do they treasure most?
Well, coming to that aspect, you know, there are many things they value. Mostly, when you talk about their traditional way of life.
That's right. Oh, they value traditional way of life.
Yes, of course. Because as you mentioned earlier, Nigeria has 36 states, with divided into three geopolitical zones, and within these three geopolitical zones, they have different culture and tradition which they value most.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So ethnicity is very well marked with these traditions.
Yes, of course.
And coming from Nigeria yourself, how would you distinguish between these three cultural ethnic traditions? What difference would you say? Is it in terms of religion, in terms of traditional economy?
Because within we have these three traditions there accompanied with it. Because number one, when you talk about people from the Hausas,
yeah,
there are still Christians and there are still Muslims, and there are still traditional men. Attached to the religions in different ways. Then you come to the Igbo. There are still Christians and there are still a very minimal Muslims, very, very, very small. then, and there are still a very high number of traditional men. Then, when you come to the Yoruba, their way of life is very, very simple and very clear, because you cannot distinguish between the Muslims and the Christians. Because when it's time for the Christian festivals, both their families who are Muslims, they dine and wine together to celebrate. And when it's time for the Muslims celebrations, they still dine and wine together. And still, there are still the traditional men. In fact, you hardly can distinguish much within that region or within that community.
In the Yoruba, you mean?
Yes, the Yoruba.
It's hard to distinguish one religion
you
from another.
You hardly can distinguish.
So it's syncretistic religion.
Yes,
so
yes, of course.
From everywhere.
Yeah, so, and they are quite loving.
Yeah, and of course the official language, all the Nigerians I've met everywhere, where I've ever been, and for conferences and for study purposes, all Nigerians speak English very well. So, and I have read that English is the official language of Nigeria. But still, there are three recognized languages, one for each of these tribes. There is the Hausa language, the Igbo language, and the Yoruba language. Are they very distinct from one another? So, for example, if a person comes from the Hausa ethnic group and he meets an Igbo person who perhaps have never left his area, would they be able to understand one another in their language? Not in English, because English is common to all, but
yeah, you know, I can expand it. The way you can understand it very well. You see, English language is a common language. Let's use that phrase. It's a common language to everybody. And in English language, that's what we call the Pidgin English.
Pidgin English, yes. Papua New Guinea has also Pidgin English.
And the Pidgin English is a sort of English even anybody who didn't attend to school can speak the Pidgin English. Because why? It doesn't matter how you put the verbs, the noun or whatsoever, but so far as you can narrate or explain your feeling and somebody can understand you, and vividly everybody understands the Pidgin English. Now, coming to these languages, three common languages, as you said, in these three region, when you come to Igbo, everybody speaks Igbo within the Igbo region.
They don't speak in English among themselves.
They speak English.
Oh, yeah.
And they speak the Igbo. Pidgin English.
Pidgin English.
Yes. And in general, there we have still different languages under the Igbo language, but anybody who comes from that region, no matter how the language is, you can understand the language. And the same thing is applicable to Yoruba. Yoruba is under the canopy of Yoruba language. So, anybody within the West there can speak the Yoruba language, and still there are still attached with different local languages under the Yoruba language. But anybody that comes from that region can speak that Yoruba language. Then, when you come to Hausa, in Hausa is a bit complex or somehow like that, because in that Hausa there are still local languages of which they are under the Hausa language, but most of them can speak the Hausa language. There are some of them who can speak the Hausa language. You understand? And because in general we have about 250 local languages in general.
250 languages?
Yes, local languages.
Oh, yeah.
Under those three.
This is dialects.
Yeah, in dialects. Really, under these three.
Linguistic variations.
Yes, yes. Under these three languages, regions we're talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have over 250 local languages.
Mm-hmm.
Attached or coming from different communities and regions like that. So, but when you study in Nigeria, if you are a student studying maybe within the South, Southeast, you are obliged to take a language from either from the Southwest or Northeast. That is, either you take Hausa or Yoruba, because already the Igbo language is a language they use in that region.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you are to study in the South, Southwest, you are to take a language between the South and the Northeast, which is the Igbo or the Hausa.
At what age will this learning of languages taking place? Because these things will be foreign, in a sense, foreign languages to those children.
Exactly.
At what age would they be?
You start taking those languages as from your secondary school. And you taking them till you finish your secondary school. And you'll be writing the exams. So, and if you are from the north, northeast, you are obliged to take a language from the south or southwest. So, and that is how it is. But mostly, most people don't find it very, very relevant, because why? There is that pidgin English, which you can always use it to express yourself, even if you don't know the language.
Yeah.
So that somebody who didn't go to school, and he's not understanding your language.
It's the least common multiple.
Yes, so you can use the pidgin English.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very common.
Mm-hmm.
Even most people in Europe here, mm-hmm, it's very common within them, mm-hmm, here. Because the average people, they don't have a basic education.
And within this love for tradition, which traditions are, so to say, most strongly felt in Nigeria? Is it secular values, religious values, agricultural values, respect for others? Which are the values which are, is it the value of identity perhaps the strongest one?
Well, you know, in coming to this very aspect, Nigeria, when you talk about religion value, actually, there is a certain region that has this value for religion very, very well. Then, and there are some certain region and at a particular community, they have the value for agriculture very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is very, very, very tedious.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very tedious.
Mm-hmm.
So, it depends on now when you are discussing now. If we have to discuss now, we have to discuss this region. This is the value of things they have. And this region, this is the value of things they have.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, it is very, very difficult to get the ratio.
Mm-hmm. And we said that politically it is a federal state with its capital, Abuja, and the greatest city is Lagos. Things happen like that. The capital of Australia is Canberra, but it is not the largest city. In the capital of the United States is Washington, but it's not the largest city. So this is very quite common. So given the size of this federal countries, Are there any local state legislations? For example, while we were coming in the car, you spoke to me that sometimes the Sharia law is applied. Is it applied on a state level or on a, so to say, tribal level? How is it applied, this Sharia law? Or the Christian law, if you want, the westernized law?
Yeah. As you say, within, it's applied within the states.
Within the states.
Yeah. And, you know, within, if you talk about the northern states, they have the highest numbers. Nigeria has about 36 states. In the north, they have the highest, the biggest landmass, and the biggest state, you know. And within that north, we have the northeast and we have the north central. Within the northeast, they have the highest landmass too, and the biggest states. And of those are the places they apply those Sharia law of a thing, you know. And within that state too, there are very, very minority or very small amount of people who are Christians, and but they are still the indigents of the state. But in cases like this, they count on the number of, they go on the majority carries the vote, you know, with the vote of no confidence, you know. Of course, you know, that the Islams has the highest populations, so apparently they can apply the law, because the law or most basically the constitution guiding that very environment is being guided by Sharia law, you know. Then within the North Central is a place, is a region that comprises both the Muslims, the Christians, and visitors, you know. So it's a little bit difficult, though sometimes they try to apply that there, and there will be a sort of crashes, because there we have indigents from there, and there are the indigents from there that are Christians, and there are indigents from there that are Muslims, and there are still the majority of people who are visitors there. Most of them are Christians.
The visitors.
Yes, there. So it's always a very difficult situation, mostly at that North Central.
How strong is the family in Nigeria? Is it a very strong institution?
Yes. You know, in Nigeria, when you talk about family, Nigeria practice both monogamous family and polygamous family. So it's always very strong. It's always very strong. Mostly, when you talk about polygamous home, it's very common within the north, south, and west. It's a common family where a man can have as many wife and children as he wishes.
Really? In which area of Nigeria?
In the whole Nigeria.
In the whole Nigeria.
In the whole Nigeria.
There is
it's
no
not,
legal restriction.
There is no restriction. You can have as many wife as you want. You can have as many children as you want. There is no restriction. And actually, it has a very, very side effect, you know, but people don't so much care. Because there are people who marry traditionally, according to the customs or the tradition of their community.
Can you explain to us a bit? We've got only a few minutes more. Right. Can you explain to us a bit this different tradition of marrying? When you say a different tradition of
marrying? Yeah. Okay. You, when you talk about there now, you see, in the Islamic State, the Sharia law, according to the Sharia law, a man is obliged to marry at least four.
Obliged?
Yes. If he wishes. You understand?
He's permitted.
He's permitted. Mm-hmm. You understand? If he wishes. Mm-hmm. And he's, if he wish to have one, he can have one. And some of them are kingmakers, some of them are traditional men, chiefs. So, as the tradition demands, for you to be a chief, you must have wife, two, three, depending on what you want or what you're up to there.
And who chooses the second wife?
Because
I had a guest here from Kenya, and she told us that in Kenya, it's the first wife which chooses the second wife for her husband normally.
Yeah, you know, we have different cultures in those countries. Like in Nigeria, a woman doesn't have much right. A woman doesn't have much right. It's left for you as a man to tell her this is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's either two of you. If it's very peaceful, you have to reach into a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How are the elders held? Are the elders in the tribe held in great respect? For example, are there any tribal courts, so to say, still in existence, unofficially, I mean? Because officially there will be the constitutional courts and so on, those determined by the constitution. But unofficially, if, say, there are troubles between families, would they go, say, to the patriarch and ask him, or the chief of the tribe, and ask him for a judgment?
Yes, of course. The elders are really respected. They are really respected. In fact, there are some certain things that has to happen in a community or in a family. They have to take it to the elders or the chiefs or the king or the emir, as they call it, because they practice different rulers in different regions. Like in the east, they practice what we call Igwe. There is the king.
Igwe?
Igwe, yes.
In a region?
Yes. And there is
but
some...
Would this king be recognized by the constitution, or simply tradition?
It's been recognized both traditionally and constitutionally.
Also?
Yes. Then in the Yoruba, they have what we call Oba.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a king in the Yoruba. It's highly respected, well recognized both in the states and in the federal. Then in the Hausas, they have what they call Sarki. It's also the king or emir. The emir is the superior of the whole region. So most cases can be settled, the community or family or whatever. So they had a very high respect to the elders.
So when one of these king dies, how is his successor appointed? Is it his son, or is it some form of...
Now, in some of those communities, like in some community in the Yoruba, it's inheritance.
Inheritance,
yeah. Yeah, it's inheritance. It's inheritance. Mm-hmm. And that is why you see most of them marry so many wives. Because if his wife, first wife, maybe has girls, then he has to marry again because he needed a son to succeed him after he's gone. Then there are other communities within the north that are inheritance too. It's inheritance. And there is some sort of tradition that binds it. In the north, there are some communities that if the king dies, then the next one king coming to succeed him has to eat his heart. It's a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What do you mean, it's his heart?
Yeah, his heart. His heart has to be removed.
Really?
Yes, it's a tradition.
And given to...
Yes, they make it and they prepare it in their own way and he eats it.
Oh, he has to eat it?
Yes, it's a tradition.
Ah.
Up to today, it's a tradition existing in the north.
In the north?
Yes. Then in the east, within the Igbo region, in some community, is inheritance, and in some community, is a rotational.
Rotational.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. In some community, is inheritance, and in some community, is rotational. Because there are sorts of there are some community who are very, very wired and exposed. So, yeah.
One last question before we end. How are burials celebrated? Is cremation accepted, or they bury under the ground as we do in Nigeria?
As in burial?
Bury. When people die, how do they bury them? Is it cremation or?
No.
They have funeral pyre or something like
no,
that?
No, they make funerals. They make funerals. In fact, within the north, funeral is not highly honored much. When somebody dies in the north, they make the burial just like that. But within the south, it's always a very big ceremony when the funeral is being made. When somebody dies and is being buried, you know, there's always a very big ceremony. Even within the Yorubas too, it's a very, very big occasion, because when a child is born, there's always a ceremony for that. And when he dies, it's always a very big ceremony, more especially if the person has a very long age.
Okay, so with this sad note about burials, we have to end this program because our time is up now. I thank you for your contribution, Donatus, for this program, and I invite my listener to listen to the next program. Right. Thank you very much, Donatus.
Thank you very much.